The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 408, recorded on January 3rd, 2016. Eighth edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 241st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Scepter.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, yeah, it is now 2016. We took our... Did you get any games for Christmas?
I bought myself games for Christmas.
That's what I asked.
Okay, so yeah, I bought several games that were on Steam sale. Yeah. I bought myself the next... Trials in the Sky game.
Right.
I even managed to play Ni no Kuni over the Christmas break. I didn't complete it, but you know, at least I got to play some games.
So, you know, yeah. Final Fantasy IX was announced for PC, albeit yes. For Japanese PC so far, but it's inevitable that it'll be on Western. I know a lot of people are excited over that one, even more than the other Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy IX is probably my personal favorite.
That's what everybody says. Everybody says, even though there's really? Final Fantasy X, 1, and 2, and Final Fantasy 6, and Final Fantasy 3, and Final Fantasy 1. You know, they all say, oh, I like Final Fantasy, and this is out of nowhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is out of nowhere. It's like, oh, really? You prefer 9 most of all? That's, you know. I mean, I know for a fact that Paul prefers Final Fantasy X, 1, and 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly because of the female characters, he just maybe relates to them for whatever reason.
Wait a minute, but doesn't Final Fantasy IX have a lead character who's a princess who's quote-unquote kidnapped, but she actually wanted to run away with the circus anyway?
Yeah, because her mother's an evil stepmother, so yeah. But I don't know. Well, that Yuna is different. Yuna's a priestess. She doesn't really get kidnapped. She kind of goes and says, okay, she goes on this quest to destroy this great evil. And so she basically summons up Tidus as her... I forgot what they call it in that game, but basically it's her summon.
Don't ask me.
And you don't know that, of course, but she basically is the protagonist of the game. That might be why he... favors that one so much, because it's really Yuna is the lead character of that game, so that's possibly why.
Is there a black guy who keeps a chocobo in his afro?
No, that's Final Fantasy 13.
I know.
And Suikoden 5 had a character with a bird in his head as well, or hair as well, but he wasn't black, so I don't know why. Maybe it's just like saying the character's hair is like a nest. I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, for me, Final Fantasy IX I liked because I just related to the characters. I really enjoyed the leveling system. You got little points and you would put them in these little spheres and level them up that way. And the art style was a little it was like you're playing with little pop vinyl toys. You had big heads and small little bodies. And
yeah, that's so unusual for anime, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did they have big Bambi eyes, too?
I didn't think they were... I guess they were kind of...
They're called anime eyes for a reason.
Yeah. it didn't feel... The eyes didn't feel... exaggerated. Just the whole head was exaggerated.
And they have tiny mouths that opened up impossibly wide.
Yeah, it was a very weird art direction to go in, but it was just nice to kind of go back to some of the more roots, because Final Fantasy VIII just felt so different, just so alien to me, that it was just nice to be like, oh, this is what I want. And then, of course, it just went right back to the other way when it went to Final Fantasy X, and for me, wasn't working for me. The quality, they had some nice rendering, but like the voice acting was terrible in 10.
Yeah.
Really was.
Final Fantasy 13 was the best Final Fantasy game I ever played. Of course, it's the only Final Fantasy game I ever played.
Dude, that's
so.
can't judge the series then, if that's all you played.
Well, of course I can judge the series. I can judge it all I like, you know.
Yeah, we'll be incorrect and wrong, like Paul
that's
would say.
That's not true. You can say uninformed, but you can't say it would be wrong.
Incomplete. Incomplete, then.
Anyway, as for me, I bought the Civilization Beyond Earth bundle for $35, which comes with Beyond Earth, the expansion, and some DLC, which is basic. I must admit, I'm getting a hard time really getting into it so far. I mean, maybe I'll start, you know, not getting used to it, but more, you know, getting absorbed into it, like I do with Civ 5. We'll see. I also started playing a lot of a 2014 game, and that's Lord of the Rings: Shadow Over Mordor. Simply because I wanted to get into it again, because I enjoyed the Nemesis system, and I enjoy the way the orc captains respond to you. And they will. The thing is that devs knew what they were doing. Like, there are beasts called Caradors, right, which are basically lion versions of wargs. So if you attack a captain while riding one, or you attack a captain getting off before you attack him, or if you just have it running around when you attack him, he'll have different responses for each way. Every way that you can do it, you know, they'll note if you ran away from them, if they ran away from you, or if another captain joins the battle, they'll say they'll acknowledge that sort of thing. You know, it just makes you feel like you're a part of the action because they're so intelligent in how they respond to your attacking them or whatever the situation is or whatever the orcs are doing too. You know, but on the other hand, you know, it does the exact Batman combat system, but the problem with it to me is that it's very mushy. It's like when you counter, you have to counter a little bit before you know you're going to have to counter. And then it isn't because it's harder, it's just slower to register. It just doesn't feel... It feels mushy and not accurate. But that doesn't stop me from having a good time. You have to plan your attacks and all that, you know. So I've been taking my time in it because I want to do it slow. I don't want to rush through the main story, even though the game itself is rushing me through for me, so...
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of being rushed through a game. I like taking my time as well.
Actually, you know, maybe I'm not rushing it. Maybe it just feels like I'm being rushed because I enjoy the game so much and I'm trying to chew it slowly, you know, but there's just so far you can chew. I've started getting into The Long Dark as well. Now, The Long Dark is something I backed a long time ago on Kickstarter. It's still in early access, which is why I haven't played it much, but I started playing it. They now have an easy mode in which animals won't attack unless you attack them. And I made the critical mistake of wandering too far away from a cabin because I froze to death. So, you know, it's something I'm interested in. Now, there's also Mark of the Ninja, which is something I played on 360 and I also have on Steam. I want to get back into that. Oh, yes, I also started playing Psychonauts again, but getting into the part where it's really, really difficult. And I decided I was just going to go into the other memories and clean up their stuff. So, you know, there's one part with Mila, who's the happy dance girl, you know. There's a secret room, which I entered, in which she has a very dark secret, in which she was a mistress at an orphanage, and she loved the kids, and the kids loved her, but then the orphanage burned down. Oh. And since she's psychic, she could hear the children screaming and thinking as they were burning up while she was away from the house.
Isn't so that what happened in Psychonauts?
That's what I said in Psychonauts.
Oh, sorry.
No. I mean, it happened before Psychonauts. The events of the thing.
I didn't realize you jumped to Psychonauts. I thought you were still talking about the other game.
Yeah, no, I just said I started getting back into Psychonauts, but instead of, you know, so I started cleaning up the other levels, and, you know, it's like, and then there's a part in which after you look at her memory reel, you can jump into this dark red box, and you jump into the middle of this house, where everything is red, and you have these spirits screaming why they couldn't save them. Mm. You know, it's a really dark moment in the middle of the game that I didn't really investigate. And here's the thing, I pre-ordered the original game for the Xbox. I was one of the five people, I think, who must have pre-ordered it. And every time I show people my pre-order bonus, which is a deck of cards, a Psychonauts deck of cards, which is still sealed, You know, A, when I tell them I have it, they don't believe me. Then I show them. And the thing is that I knew about Psychonauts. The thing is, I was demoed the game in Game Lab like a couple of months before the game was released, when Microsoft was still the publisher. And, you know, and I said, oh, I want to play this. I fell instantly in love with that demo, that extended demo at Game Lab, which is sort of like a New York City-based developer. And the people came over and they showed off like a half hour to an hour of the game. And at that point, Microsoft dumped Psychonauts, and the developer, Double Fine, had to scramble, and they ended up with Mastertronic. Now, anybody who knows Mastertronic, they were the chintziest publisher you could possibly find. They did all the worst games.
Ugh.
So you have this gem being published by, you know, by this this publisher. They improved, you know, but I think Mastertronic did all the Army Men games. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was never interested in those, but I do remember one of my friends playing those games and really loving the series.
Let me see. I'm going to look up. Give me an example of the games they published. Yeah, they had the new Mastertronic. Oh, darn. You know, they don't have the list of games that they published. But anyways, it was really terrible. They just released some terrible games. So you have, it's sort of like, I don't know, New Moon Studios releasing a Woody Allen film. So, yeah. So I've been doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that when it comes to game playing, because I'm trying to figure out what I really want to play. I haven't been playing Halo 5 much because I just feel like they changed a lot of the hitboxes, and it was just, you know, I'm no longer accurate in SWAT. I don't know what happened, but I'm not getting the headshots. And they also reset all the skill levels, so now I have to do the test all over again, and I know I'm not going to do as well as I did the first time. The first time I got a gold, and another thing, I got a platinum, and I don't know if I'll ever get that again, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't played Halo 5, so I can't give you any advice on that one.
Oh, I also downloaded some of the backwards compatible stuff on the Xbox One, including Ms. Pac-Man. So I was playing Ms. Pac-Man on the Xbox One last night.
That's cool.
I also downloaded all of my Luminous and all the Luminous content. I have not played that since it was on the Xbox 360 a long time ago. Really long ago. I stopped playing it on the Xbox 360 for a long time, too. I think the last time I played it was like 2007? I'm not sure. But for those of you who don't know Luminous, it is a musical Tetris. And I, you know, these kind of games, you know, you do this, you think you're playing well, and then you look at the leaderboards and you realize you're just shitty and everybody else is so much better than you. It's like, oh, I got 60,000. Oh, look, someone got 2 billion. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, and even among my friends, oh, I suck. I thought I was doing well, but I suck.
Aww.
I suck.
Poor Jonah.
I'm trying to get into Blood Bowl again because I want to see if I want to get Blood Bowl 2. And the reason why I want to get into Blood Bowl is because I played the original game from 1995 on the Commodore 64, and I loved it. We'll see. Oh, yeah, and I've been trying to play some Human Revolution, but the director's cut, for some reason, it crashes my computer when I try to quit, so now I have to get out and spawn out, and then stop it on the task manager. Which is weird. I shouldn't have to do that, but I do.
That does seem a little bit odd that I've had some. There are some games that don't seem to take alt-tabbing very well.
No, it does take alt-tabbing well. It's just when I normally quit, when I do a normal quit of the game, it crashes. Right. So I have to spawn out.
I've been doing that. Like, I'll quit the game, and it crashes, and I have to tell it, okay, you can quit. I don't understand why it does that.
So what I have to do is I have to save the game, then spawn out, then stop it in the task manager.
Yeah. That is very strange.
Oh, yes, and I've also been doing the Strong Bad adventure game by Telltale, the Homestar Runner. I'm doing episode 3, and I'm doing it with the wiki guide so that I can get 100% on everything. Because I've already beaten those games. Now I just want to get all the stuff so I can 100% the entire game.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, yeah, I'm on Baddest of the Bands, which is episode 3. And for those of you who haven't played it, one, I strongly suggest Homestar Runner. as a whole. And two, I strongly suggest the adventure game because it's actually like playing the Flash series.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you watch Homestar Runner?
No, I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of Homestar Runner?
No.
I'm a terrific athlete. I'm Strongbag.
Is that what that is? Okay, yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
I'm Strongbag. I do the Strongbag emails.
Yeah, I don't know why that's so popular, but okay.
It's hilarious. That's why. It's just funny. The thing is that mostly what I suggest is just watch the Strong Bad emails,
mm-hmm.
and then start watching their cartoons.
I watch their cartoons. It just sounds like a bunch of mental patients talking to each other.
Especially when Strong Bad is looking at the Strong Bad costumes for Halloween, and he really does not like Homestar at all, but he's a little horn dog. So this really hot woman dressed as Homestar, and it caused so much conflicting pain in him. It's like, mm-hmm. Homestar! And then Homestar walks in and starts calling Strong Bad sweetie. And Strong Bad's brain implodes because he can't handle it. So anyways, that's enough of what we've been playing. Well, you talked about what you bought, but I assume you bought what you've been playing. You played what you bought, right?
Not yet, because I bought a lot of stuff on Steam and wasn't able to play it while I was in Virginia, and I only had my little iPhone, so I was buying the sales and playing my PlayStation.
There's a Humble Bundle going on right now for Square Enix, and it has a crap ton of Tomb Raider stuff and Hitman stuff and Just Cause stuff, but there was one game there which I saw, which I loved on the Xbox 360, so I bought it on Steam for $3 because of the Steam sale, and that's Yusamen, which is a little puzzle time waster in which you're just making boxes. You know, and it's extremely Japanese. Oh God, is it? It's so Japanese. It's almost a parody of a Japanese game. And maybe it is a parody of a Japanese game. I don't know, but it's so cloying, and so weird, and it's easy for the first couple of 100 board things, and then it just ramps up the difficulty. So yeah. But Yusamen is an interesting game. It's only $3. You should buy it before if you like puzzle games. I'm not talking about you specifically, Scott. Mm-hmm. I'm talking just in general. There's also a demo, so if you want to try the demo, you can do that first. So, anyways, we're going to move on to game news. Valve explains Steam issues on December 25th, and this comes from Game Watcher. Steam had serious issues back on December 25th, and Valve issued a statement explaining just what happened, stating it was the result of the company's response to a DOS, that's a denial of service attack, rather than a DOS attack itself. This led to personal information being exposed, including usernames, Steam wallet contents, and other data. According to the post by the company, attacks against the Steam Store and Steam in general are regular occurrences that Valve handles both directly and with the help of partner companies, and typically do not impact Steam users. However, during the Christmas attacks, traffic to the Steam Store increased 2,000% over the average traffic during the Steam sale. By the way, I had thought when I was going onto the Steam page, and I was trying to do the... See, the thing about the Steam sale is that you can actually... They have this thing which you'll browse sort of Amazon-like various games, and then you get a free card, And I was trying to do that, but I kept getting the message, yeah, we're too overloaded. Try again later. And I'm wondering if that was actually the DOS attack, Anyways, Valve went on to explain that during the second wave of this attack, a second caching configuration was deployed that incorrectly cached web traffic for the authenticated users. This configuration error resulted in some users seeing the Steam Store responses, which were generated for other users. Incorrect Steam Store responses varied from users seeing the front page of the store displayed in the wrong language to seeing the account page of another user. This attack and response comes at a sensitive time for when Valve is having legal action taken against it by a French consumer advocate, which we talked about in the last podcast 2 weeks ago, by the way, which was cited that Valve declines any responsibility in case they get hacked and users' personal information gets stolen. The thing is that if users come forward saying they were victims of a scam, of this DOS attack, it'll be very interesting to see how Valve responds. Because they opened themselves up to this before this happened, and now this is a very public, attack, And if people got screwed by having their information hacked, you know, Valve has to be really nice to them.
Yeah, this is not good for their issue, you know, this lawsuit. And I was hoping that they would, I don't know, almost, well, I guess if, no, yeah, if nobody...
You want free games, don't you? You want free games, don't you? You want, oh, well, you know what? Since this attack happened, you could have $5 to your Steam.
I don't know, just some compensation, you know, because that is kind of crappy that other people's, somehow you can manage to see other people's profiles, and it was happening all over the place. People were tweeting on there that they, oh, I see this person's wallet and their inventory and stuff, and it got crazy. And now we have this. They also instituted this new security thing on their, like, if you want to trade inventories,
you have to wait a week if you're not if you don't have the Steam Guard.
Yeah, it's, and I think that might be maybe one of the issues. I don't know, but it's just there's a lot of fumbling going on, and want them to get their shit together.
See, there is such a thing as too big to fail. I mean, there is no such thing as too big to fail.
Right.
And, you know, Valve has to start hiring more people, more consumer representatives, more programmers, more security people. They can't, you know, the thing that I have a problem with is that they have all these contractors. And here's the thing, you know, it's fine to have contractors, but it's a lot easier if you have trained people in your company, more trained people.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I think too many times when you have this revolving door of contractors, you don't really build up a resource of somebody that knows what's going on, the kinks, the ins and outs, and can really get you a strong system. You just, like, you would have to constantly retrain them. They're like, okay, here's how we do our stuff, like, over and over again. It's almost like going back to square one each and every time, because then the new person needs to learn. And whereas if you built somebody up and they knew, you'd maybe have less issues like this.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of YouTube in a way. YouTube has gotten too big, and unlike Steam, they don't have really any competitors. Their one major competitor was Blip TV, and it's gone. Vimeo, no one cares about.
Twitch?
Twitch TV, though, is a live streamer. It's not really a content provider, and you really can't get revenue from Twitch either. You know, and that's the big thing about YouTube, is that a lot of the people who post on YouTube are revenue people. Oh, by the way, I've been getting feedback about YouTube Red, and they say it sucks. And the thing is, it doesn't stop ads either, because while it may stop the YouTube ads, the videos themselves have ads, you know? I mean, these people are trying to make their own money, too, so they have sponsors. So, no, YouTube Red does not remove ads, per se. It removes those YouTube ads, you know, but it doesn't remove the content provider's ads. So, yeah, it's a big waste of time. I just hope that the U.S., declares YouTube a monopoly and just smashes it to bits.
Yeah, because the monopoly laws and that, but it just, like, the name itself is pretty bad idea.
Have you ever tried to get consumer? This is the reason I'm going there. If you ever try to get consumer service from YouTube, good luck. There's no such thing as transparency there. You might as well just throw your computer into the trash, because they'll get the messages just as quick. They don't respond. They don't do anything. And they have this software called Content ID. Even if you have fair use, you know, if you're a review show, it doesn't matter. People will lay claims to your license and take your money.
Yep.
And
even people that don't seem to have anything to do with the music, or they identify stuff that doesn't even sound like music, and just it's all messed up. It's a complete clusterfuck.
You know, I remember Vimeo. the problem with that was that anything with Pixel in the title was claimed by Sony Pictures. You know,
gay people. That story.
People got even more of a reason to hate Adam Sandler.
That,
by the way, on a side note, I've been, you know, doing a January spring cleaning, and I came across some game magazines from 1996 and 1997. And I have a computer gaming... No, it wasn't Computer Gaming World. Oh, no, it was PC Gamer. From 1997, there was a really bad full-motion video game called A Fork in the Tail. And Gary Witter, the reviewer, said, is one of the positives, and this will make you laugh, says one of the positives was that Rob Schneider was actually pretty funny in it. He wasn't. But, you know, it's. I guess when you're doing the video game, even bad humor will be good humor, because the bad humor is even worse. It's just... But Rob Schneider was actually pretty funny! He was terrible. Poor Rob Schneider. This is before Rob Schneider doing full motion video at the time. I mean, that tells you something about Rob Schneider.
He'll do anything for money.
No, that isn't that. It's that he's so crappy that he can only get full motion video work and also beg his friend Adam for work.
Yeah, it seems to be the only
He can't get work anywhere else.
Right.
Unless it's Happy Madison. And then he plays a chick.
Do you think he would take a hint to be like, yeah, maybe I should stop acting?
Why? He's getting millions of dollars from Adam Sandler. I mean...
Millions?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how it works, right? Let me give you an example. Jack and Jill had a budget of $72 million.
Oh.
It was shot like it cost $10,000. All that money went to Adam and his friends for these million-dollar contracts.
I see, yeah.
You know, that's how they got Al Pacino to appear in it. That's how they got Tom Cruise to appear in it. Oh, no, it wasn't Tom Cruise. It was Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp was sitting in this fake set of the Staples Center, quote unquote, watching a basketball game, a Lakers game, but it was obviously just a 5x5 set.
Yeah.
And he probably got paid $1 million just to sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. Like, okay, sure, I'll sit here and do nothing.
Yeah, what you should do is Google Red Letter Media Jack and Jill, and And here's the thing: is that it costs $72 million to make that, which is half of what it cost to make Terminator 2. So, where all that money went, you know.
Yeah, and if we're gonna, doesn't care.
If you really, really want to see one of the worst movies you ever see, go to Netflix and watch The Cobbler, which is Adam Sandler's latest from the past year.
Yeah, I don't think I want to waste my time with Adam Sandler anymore. My time's precious.
Yeah, but, you know, there is something to be said about watching things that are really offensively bad. There was a there's a video I was considering picking up until I saw scenes from it. It turned out to be a straight-out porno. But there's this movie called Long John Silver, which is spelled with a female's name, J-E-A-N-N-E. And it's a real-life pornographic actress who's an amputee. And basically, she fucks women with her stump.
I see.
But it turned out to be more of a porno than anything else. I was hoping it just might be something that was really R-rated. But being the early 70s, you know.
Right.
Anyways. But like I said, we're getting back to Valve. It'll be interesting to see what comes of this. And we still haven't had any word of what the result is from the French lawsuit. So we'll have to keep this on. Now, before we move on to the next item, you did see Star Wars, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And I warned you, and I warned a lot of people, and I didn't even see the film, but I was 100% right in that it was basically a remake of the first Star Wars. And I don't care. Spoilers, okay? And you know what? I'll just say it. Han Solo dies. I knew one of the major characters was going to die. They had to have one of the major characters. And it made sense that Harrison Ford would die because he really doesn't want to be a part of Star Wars anymore.
He's in the next movie.
As a Force ghost? God, no.
I have no idea, but he's in the
It'll
next
have to
movie.
Be a Force ghost.
A contract, whatever.
It's a Force ghost. He has to be a Force ghost.
He can't be a Force ghost. He's not Force sensitive.
Says who?
Says the movie, says the book, says everyone. He doesn't
You forget. Disney said all those books don't count no more. There ain't no extended universe anymore.
Oh my God! Yes, they are. Did you burn the books? No, the books are still there. They still exist.
Yeah, they're still the books don't count though. They count as much as the.
It doesn't matter. He's not
it counts as much as the Star Wars cartoon. I mean, the Star Trek cartoon.
He's not force sensitive.
Oh yes, he is, and that's why their kid is such a powerful force user. Because
Leia has force power,
and so does Han. As a matter of fact, they actually hinted about that in some of the extended universe as well, just so you know. So that's why they're attracted to each other, because the Force said so. Anyways, it's a soft reboot, you know. Some of the things that don't make sense.
It's a cyclic story where, you know, certain things repeat themselves, and this is a hero story.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. Hopefully, it'll work. So, anyways. I didn't say it was bad. I just said it was going to be a remake. The problem is that they have now the same problem as Star Trek 2009. The next movie, they better be doing their own damn stuff.
I think they are.
No. Well, you know. For one thing, why did they have to destroy the Death Star? Or what do they call it? The Star Killer? Which, by the way, is a nice little nod to the original name of Luke Skywalker. It was supposed to be Luke Skykiller.
Well,
Star Killer. Yeah, Luke Skykiller.
In the books, and I know you're saying it doesn't exist, but whatever. In the EO,
it don't exist
books,
no more.
There was a
Wikipedia Star is now Killer useless.
that was designed to go into a system's star sun. And make it go nova, thus destroying the star and everything.
Well, in this case, they didn't want to destroy Coruscant.
Yeah,
because there's too many people on it.
Giant planet to fight on, and so
they just wanted to destroy.
You had to, because otherwise you'd have this big, massive super weapon.
What I find amusing is that somehow the Empire is still the Empire, and the Rebels are still the Rebels, and for some reason the Rebels aren't the government now.
They should be the government, because they were in the EU, and I think they did have a government. That's why Killer Planet killed that whole solar system. That was their new republic, and the First Order killed them, basically.
Well, they had to bring things back. They couldn't say, oh, the Republic is now the bosses. You know, it would have been more interesting if they made the Remnant. And by the way, and the extended things, that which no longer exist, when you had Shadow of the Empire and all this stuff, you know, when you had Luke and Leia's kid or whatever, or someone's kid, Jade Skywalker or something like that. One of the kids turned evil, and
Jason and Jaina were Han Solo and Leia's kids, and they also had Anakin Skywalker as well.
So what happened? Well, the thing is that, you know, the Shadow of the Empire, right, in which Luke turns evil. The Empire was now called the Remnant. Right, yeah. and they still had control, sorta, you know. They were still a faction of the loyalty. The people who were still loyal to the Empire, you know, all the planets that were. So you had that, right? So you don't have that here.
First Order is a remnant of the Empire. It's one of the factions that managed to survive, collect its resources. And come back at the rebels.
See, but is it that's the problem? Is that
blow up a Death Star and kill an emperor doesn't mean the empire just goes poof and vanish.
Well, here's the problem.
That breaks apart. It's like the Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire broke apart, you had several factions.
Okay.
Several different countries.
But here's the problem with that, though.
You know, vie for power and hold it together, and you know, eventually, little bit by little bit, each piece, you know, became something else.
I would have bought that, except for the except you have to ignore the George Lucas altered versions, which has every single planet celebrating the destruction of the Death Star. If you didn't have
ignore the prequels and the altered versions.
No, I'm not talking about the prequels. I'm just talking about the altered versions here. If you just have the original versions, then it makes more sense. You know, blows up. They're celebrating on Endor.
Now you know why people hate the altered versions. They hate every little change that Lucas made. They hate the fact that Han's head like jilt awkwardly to the side. They hate that CGI Jabba. They hate they hate everything that Lucas did after the original, basically.
What, you mean you don't like having the Force ghost of Anakin Skywalker being Hayden Christensen?
Oh, people hate that too. People hate that with a vengeance.
Did you see
disgusted with that.
Did you see the How It Should Have Ended, in which he kept on, what's called, you know, I can, he appears as, he says, oh, I can appear as, and then he appears as Hayden Christensen, then he says, oh, I can also do this, and then he appears as Jake Lloyd, as a little kid and all that stuff, you know, that, you know. The only problem I have with that was it was really disrespectful to Sebastian Shaw, who was dead at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's like, why are you changing this out? It just makes no sense because
no, but I don't care. I don't...
He shouldn't be his 18-year-old self. He should be his 40-year-old self.
Well, I think he just goes the way he prefers it. But I have no problem with them doing that per se. But I do have a problem with screwing over an actor who is also deceased. You know, who had a part in it. You know,
it would be like taking out Alec Guinness and putting in Ewan McGregor as a Force Ghost in that scene.
I don't think people would have been... Yeah, I don't know. Well, see, the thing about Alec Guinness is that he was nominated for an Oscar for Star Wars. So they couldn't do that. they couldn't take out the Oscar nominee. And also, because Sebastian Shaw, while he was a good actor, and a British actor, he was more famous on the British stage than he was in an American film. He's not as famous as Alec Guinness, so they couldn't do that. And they couldn't change Yoda into Yoda because Yoda was already Yoda. They didn't give him Jim Henson's voice. Getting back to Star Wars. And this turned into the Star Wars podcast, which is fine because that'll get us more hits. I'll call this the Star Wars podcast for one episode. The thing I was about to say was, okay, you established this, but don't go into the trap of Star Trek 09, in which the next movie you basically remake The Wrath of Khan, but in your way. By the way, have you seen the trailers for the third Star Trek film?
Yes, I have. And
oh my God.
I also saw the tweet from Simon Pegg saying that trailer doesn't represent the movie.
Simon, you're an idiot. Yeah, all you know is about the acting. I'm telling you right now, when you have the director of The Fast and the Furious doing your film, and you release a trailer that looks like Trek Fast and Furious, then I'm inclined to believe it's going to be Star Trek The Fast and the Furious.
That's not the impression I got. I got this impression of the crew being divided little bit by little bit and somebody picking them off, kind of like The Most Dangerous Game or something.
It's The Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
They're turning the see, here's the problem I have is that the Enterprise is not a hot rod. it's a submarine, and once you realize that the Enterprise is meant to be more of a submarine type of thing, then you get it. I mean, if Star Trek II, the most popular film in the series, the entire thing between the Enterprise and the Reliant, that was a submarine battle. It's not even they didn't even hide the fact it was a submarine battle.
Well, for me, I felt like I always loved Next Generation Star Trek, which I thought was more slow-paced, more cerebral, more talking, more just character. Well, and this new Star Trek just feels like it's all action, pew, pew, pew.
Well, that's fine. You can turn Star Trek into an action film. It just can't be dumb. And that's the problem with the first two movies, where they're dumb. There's very little science in Star... See, the thing is that Star Wars is magic. It's a fantasy movie. It's not science fiction. It's fantasy. You have magic, you know. And I'm sorry, there's no way those ships could ever fly through an atmosphere. They were never meant to. Maybe the X-Wing, maybe. But the TIE fighters in an atmosphere, they would fall like bricks, you know. It's all fantasy. Star Trek was always supposed to be the science one, and now you have Star Trek getting dumber and dumber, and they're trying to make it appeal to the masses, which is fine.
Yeah.
Just no, don't make it dumb. I mean, if you want to make a Star Trek film,
it's lowering of the bar, and I'm pretty sure Paul will back me up on this, but it's the lowering of the bar, and when you lower it and you appeal to a wider and wider and wider and wider audience, it's you just seem to get a lower class of a lower quality product.
Well, here's the thing, Deep Space Nine was an action series. It had a lot of action, but it wasn't dumb. You know, they realized, mm-hmm. We have the Defiant now. That'll be our X-Wing fighter, the Defiant. You know, even Voyager. The way the Voyager was constructed, it wasn't an Enterprise. It was a different class of ship, which was more meant for action sequences. You know, the Enterprise is a submarine. Stop making it into something that it's not. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, the problem is we'll never have a cerebral science fiction movie. Even an action-y, although you can call it action, quote-unquote, Star Trek II was not... The thing about Star Trek II, there was not a lot of action in that movie. There was a lot of talk, 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 talk. And even the combat was basically two slow ships moving around in a nebula, acting like, you know, and there was a lot of tension there. I mean, maybe instead of doing the Fast and the Furious, maybe they should watch a movie like Das Boot and have a Star Trek movie that's like that, you know? You can still have your action, just have it tense, you know? You can't have... Star Trek is not a slasher movie. It's a psychological thriller.
I thought Star Trek could be like Star Trek IV, the Voyage Home, you know, where you don't even... You just have a problem that the crew needs to solve, and it doesn't necessarily need to be this evil villain. You know, it could just be this situation that they need to figure out. And like you said, it's like,
Star Trek VI.
Right? They're just dumb. They don't care.
You have Star Trek VI as well, which has an action sequence with a... You know,
Star Trek VI was kind of a mystery episode there, where they were trying to figure out who's behind the conspiracy and figure it out. So, and then you have that climax with a little bit of a battle there. That was good.
I also loved Star Trek Nemesis, and I know a lot of people didn't, but I loved it. And I wish they would release one with all the deleted scenes put back in, because otherwise the Deanna mind rape thing makes no sense until you have the scenes restored. You know? By the way, everybody knew Data was going to die except me. For some reason, I thought that Riker was going to die, which is why that entire sequence, when I saw it in the theaters, was so tense for me when he was fighting the Viceroy, because I thought he was going to be the one who was going to get killed.
Yeah, I thought it was Picard because, you know, Patrick Stewart's like, oh, this is my last movie.
No, I thought it was going to be Riker because he was getting married to Troy, and that's one thing in an action film. Happy couple, they just got married. Oh, one of them's going to die.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's so cliche. Why don't we not do the cliche for once?
Well, they didn't do the cliche. They did Data. And the reason was Brent Spiner didn't want to do it. The thing is that Data was aging, and Data's not supposed to age.
Spiner is aging. You can't really stop. That seems to be a real big issue. People don't seem to realize we age.
You know, now we have a CGI, so now maybe they can have a CGI Data with Brent Spiner's voice. That would actually be, they did it with Arnold Schwarzenegger really well in Terminator Genesis, in having a, you know, they use CGI to make him look 20 years younger than he is. Yeah. So that he looks older when he comes back, you know? And I thought that was done really well. They could do the same thing with Data, you know? And that's one of the examples of really well-done CGI.
I just have a line saying, I aged myself up to fit normally with, you know, the
Well, he did that in All Good Things. Remember, he had that white stripe in his hair.
Yeah, he did that skunk hair.
It looked ridiculous, but then again, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, on Terminator Genesis, and this will be the last of the movie podcast, I actually really enjoyed it until after they killed the T-1000. Then it got stupid. But I really enjoyed that alternate universe that they had. And then they just went off the rails after they killed the T-1000. Because I was really enjoying the action, especially when Arnold faces off against Arnold during the Griffith Observatory scene.
Yeah.
Remember when he kills Bill Paxton and shows him his heart? You know, when old Arnold shows up and says, "I've been waiting for you," and they both attack each other. That I thought was really, really fun. And thankfully, Bill Paxton got to live. Oh, it wasn't Bill Paxton anymore. It was his character. So the punk who had his heart ripped out lives. And that made me happy. So anyways, the reason why we're getting into all the Star Wars and stuff is for the next item. Go ahead, Paul. Scott. By the way, I still have to get you, Scott, and Jennifer in for the Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, next news item. Go ahead.
Okay. Star Wars Battlefront won't be doing the Force Awakens or Space Battles content. This is from the Game Watcher, in many fans' eyes, the biggest omission in Star Wars Battlefront is the fact that while Stars is right there in the title, the game has nothing to do with space. According to EA Dice, fans can stop holding their breath because neither space battles nor content involving stuff from outside the original trilogy will be downloadable content in the future. When asked if there would be any content based on Force Awakens on Twitter, developer replied, "Our team is focusing on the original trilogy for this release of Star Wars Battlefront." Another tweet asked if Star Wars would have battles among the, you know, stars. Wait. Another tweet asked if Star Wars would have battles among the stars.
No. Another tweet asked if Star Wars would have battles among the, stars.
Oh, okay. The reply was, we're focusing on air battles and dogfights that take place on the vistas of our planets rather than space. Because, nobody wants to fight in space. That's just boring.
I mean, the funny thing is I heard that people are playing a lot more of Star Wars Battlefront 2 because it has more to the game.
Mm-hmm.
It has more options. One of the biggest thing about Star Wars Battlefront is that they made the conscious thing that they were going to make it as general to the public as possible, which is fine. But, you don't have to... Here's the thing. Simplifying controls is one thing, But taking away depth is another thing. And people... Yeah,
that's the lowering of the bar. Taking away options, taking away... additional content just makes the game seem plainer and just not as fun and not as in-depth, not even as replayable either. And that's really a shame for a game that's supposedly designed to be that way. I mean, something like this. And it's like, there's like only four maps or something, and there's not even a lot of content at all for this game.
I also find it's a little condescending in a way, because... What they're saying is that, the average public wouldn't understand all this new stuff. They only know Darth Vader, Luke, Leia, Boba Fett, everybody from the original trilogy, all the other stuff. No one cares about, this new movie. If you include Kylo Ren, no one's going to know who he is, even though the movie's out in theaters. And, I'm going to say something, I didn't like him, but, a lot of people of a certain age who are now teenagers and are in their early 20s really did grow up with The Phantom Menace and the other prequel trilogies, and they really got a... And I'm pretty sure they would want to play Darth Maul, or they
There's
would want to...
There's a lot of people that like Darth Maul, yes.
Well, the problem with Darth Maul was that he was a character with a cool weapon who was not developed at all. And,
They felt that way about Boba Fett. He was a cool
The thing about Boba Fett was that they got fooled once before, and then Boba Fett got eaten by a giant vagina in the desert. There was supposed to be something there. I mean, they established him with Darth Vader warning him, no disintegrations. And then he appears in Cloud City, all badass, and then he takes off with Han.
He doesn't even capture Han. Vader has to capture Han for him.
No, but, no. He does track down the Millennium Falcon. Remember, he does that trick.
And then Vader captures Han.
Yeah, but, of course, he's pragmatic. He was being pragmatic there. And then we find out why he needed to be pragmatic, because on his own, he just gets randomly hit by a blind guy and falls into the vagina mouth.
It happens to be Han. It's hilarious.
So, but that's the fault of Return of the Jedi,
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back established this character well. And then you come to Return of the Jedi, you say, what are we going to do with Boba Fett? I'll just get rid of him.
Yeah.
Just get rid of him. By the way, it makes me funny. A lot of people are calling Jakku not Tatooine.
Oh, yeah. It's different desert planet, not the same one.
Yeah. BS. They just call it Tatooine and leave it at that. If you're gonna ape from the first movie, you might as well ape all the way and stop pretending it doesn't exist. Although I will say that movie, and we're getting back into Star Wars again, didn't marry Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back together, because it has a lot of all the plot is from the first movie, but a lot of the downer stuff is from the second movie, because it ends with what's his face being in a coma? Or
Finn.
Something like that? Yeah.
Finn, yeah.
And, all this leaving and hanging. And a lot of people are glad that they introduced Luke that way and not have him grab the lightsaber, in that moment in which it goes to What's-Her-Face's
hand. Seems like a very prolonged moment of just standing there, like, take the lightsaber, and Luke's just looking all, like, distraught and sad. And I mean, it's really powerful, for having
they
no minds.
Just,
that was
the helicopter
powerful.
Shot was a bad idea. They just should have had him just walk out and just stay on that step. Not have a helicopter shot of Ireland.
Yeah, we didn't need a helicopter shot, that's true.
Yeah. By the way, the movie made $1 billion, but that really doesn't impress me because A, inflation, and B, Avatar did the same thing, and Avatar was one of the worst movies I ever saw in my life.
Yeah, it's basically Dances with Wolves, or The Last Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, and there's going to be an Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5. And the problem I have is that you already told the story in the first film. What are you going to do for the second film? white people are even more assholes.
Yeah,
humans are even bigger assholes than they.
And all sort of crap that just yeah.
Maybe they'll have their own version of the Death Star and blow up.
And it's really annoying because now you have to be very specific when you're if you refer to The Last Airbender. Avatar. Because I used to just say the Avatar, but now you have to say The Last Airbender.
Oh, I thought you were talking about because of... You have to be specific that it's not the Shyamalan film.
Yeah, it's not the Shyamalan film either. Yeah, do that. That was terrible. Talk about not trying.
No, there's just a lot of Shyamalan-isms in the film.
Yeah, it's just... Wow, you know, you have a guy... You know, who it is kind of ironic and funny. You know, you have somebody of Asian descent.
Well, at least it's not as bad as it was. It wasn't as bad as the Dragon Ball Z movie, which hardly anybody knows about, but it did get released. Yes, there was a live action Dragon Ball Z movie.
That's
and it was terrible.
it's
a big thing when you make Mortal Kombat look like a classic movie. We make it look like Citizen Kane in comparison. Of course. At least Street Fighter had that one line by Raul Julia. It's about taking over the world. Of course.
That was good. Raul Julia was a good actor. It's just a shame that was his last.
Oh yeah. Also, he also has that famous line. You know, but for me, it was Tuesday. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. New pachinko laws pushes SNK back to games and scumptious from Destructoid. In 2015, SNK made the surprising about-face. Not only did the Neo Geo company announce a new entry in the King of Fighters series, which is going to be King of Fighters 14, after spending the better part of the decade exploiting its past work rather than making anything new, it also reveals plans to abandon its pachinko business. Okay, for those who don't know what pachinko is, you ever see Plinko on the Price is Right, in which you drop a disc down, and you have all these little pegs, and the way it falls and where it falls on the bottom is what you win. So yeah, it's Peggle. It's Peggle, but not bouncy. Speaking with Famitsu in a recent interview, SNK Gaming Division boss Yakuda Noguchi reiterated the company's change, of course, was partially brought on by the new patchy slot regulations in Japan. According to Noguchi, SNK would have to make drastic changes to how it did things no matter what, and ultimately decided a return to game development was for the best. Even as of now, we're better known as a game company than a patchy slot company, Noguchi said. People still talk about that as a game company when we say our name. While the company hasn't put any big original projects since King of Fighters 13 in 2010, it has released a number of SNK titles on various digital marketplaces like Steam and smartphones in recent years. The sales on those platforms, Noguchi says, helped encourage the company to return to games rather than double down on pachinko. To help restore the company to what it once was, Noguchi adds that SNK recently bought back a number of veteran developers who had left the company over the years, in addition to reallocating personnel from the pachinko division to game development. I remember when SNK said, okay, we're just going to do pachinko, which was sort of like Nintendo saying, oh, you know what, we're just going to do slot machines because they make more money.
I did play Peggle, and I enjoyed that game, but...
Pachinko is a little less... the thing is, when I go to E3, Able Gamers has their pachinko games there. You know, you can win gold and stuff like that. Oh, I should mention, I will be returning to E3 this year.
Cool.
After a long debate with myself. I've been going ever since 2002. And it's just a lot of money to go there out of my own pocket.
Right.
You know,
you're not getting enough out of it.
I can't go under the banner of gaming podcast, and I can't go under Talkin' Xbox, my TV show, because according to E3, they're not big enough for them. So I'm going with TMR Zoo, which is a men's site, which covers gaming too, because it has more than 10,000 unique visitors. And the thing is that, you know, to E3, it doesn't matter if I've been going every year since 2002. You know, I can't go as a freelancer. I can't do that. You know, I have to go because it's not big and important enough for them. You know, and I was considering just saying, screw it, I'm not going. Because the problem with E3 these years is that it really has nothing new in it. You know, all I get to do is preview a bunch of games that I already know are coming out. There's no real surprises anymore, you know, which was
That's
a real magic of E3. But then again, I also have a lot of people that I meet at E3, and it's an industry event, and you know, I definitely want to hang out with Tim Schafer. You know, we've been getting to be buddies. So, nice. And with Psychonauts 2 coming out, I want to be a part of that. I think that would be sort of a conflict of interest with the podcast, but I don't care. I just won't talk about Psychonauts 2. If I ever get involved with Psychonauts 2, I will say, yeah, I can't talk about it, sorry, because, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I would love to.
Wouldn't know either.
I would love to be a part of that. Because, like I said, you know, I'll just bring, you know, I should bring my deck of Psychonauts cards. Say, look, Tim, I believe in you from the very start. This is the pre-order bonus.
Nice.
I was one of the 5 people who pre-ordered your game.
Wow.
I think that game sold like 10,000 copies. I'm not sure.
I think it sold more than 10,000. Some
ridiculously low number on the original Xbox.
Oh, okay, original Xbox, okay. That meant that...
No, I mean on its initial release, it was a major flop. Because the problem is no one knew about it. It didn't have Microsoft's publishing behind it, or its marketing.
I think once it went to PC, it probably did better.
No, what happens was that its reputation grew, and then Microsoft released it as an Xbox original, a downloadable game on the Xbox 360. And from there, its reputation kept on growing. And again, it's Tim Schafer. So, I mean, Grim Fandango was the same way. You know, I was one of the few people who actually
bought... a sleeper hit?
I was one of the 5 or 6 people who bought Grim Fandango. And the reason why I bought Grim Fandango, because I bought Full Throttle. I did not buy the earlier games, like, Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle.
Those were good games.
I intend to play them someday, you know. The reason, at the time, I wasn't really into Sierra-type games anymore. I stopped playing adventure games, so I got back into
adventure. Well, the thing with LucasArts is their games were not as... punishing as the Sierra games, you know.
You couldn't die in Grim Fandango at all. It would not allow you.
You couldn't really die in like
Full
the
Throttle
Adventures of Monkey Island, for instance. They had even like a joke part where you supposedly fall off a cliff, but then a rubbery palm tree floats, you know, shoots you back up. And then
at some point,
isn't it nice not to be punished for little actions like that?
At some point, I'm going to have to play The Curse of Monkey Island because I want to start screaming at people. I want to do the duels in which you call people, you fight like a cow.
Yeah.
I started playing with Full Throttle and went on from there. I don't know why I bought Full Throttle. I mean, maybe I think it may have just been the box. It may have just been the box, you know. Because, remember, there weren't many trailers back then, you know, and there weren't... I don't know if there was a demo. It could have been. I know that Grim Fandango had a demo, which I had to get on disc in a magazine, and it was all the tie part. And I was really interested in Grim Fandango from the start because I read the preview on PC Gamer, and from there it just rolled. I mean, I was disappointed with Brutal Legend. I have it on Steam. I may try it again. And since it has that little umlaut above the U, it has to be Brutal Legend. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. Not Brutal Legend. Brutal Legend.
Okay. It's an odd way to pronounce that.
Anyway, I just can't imagine, you know, a major publisher deciding they're just going to do some gambling games and just ditch video games like that.
Yeah.
So, did you play SNK Fighters?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Is it like Street Fighter?
They do have, no, SNK did King of Fighters and stuff like that. They also did, what?
I'm not into fighting games like that much.
So
I play them a little bit.
I think they did the Metal, they did the Neo Geo, right? But they also did, there was that robot game, that walking mech game, and, Metal Slug. Did you play Metal Slug?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that was a scrolling shooter. That was very popular.
Mm-hmm. I have heard of it, though, yes. I saw it, but I didn't get to play it.
Okay, but it wasn't a fighting game. It was a scrolling shooter.
Right. I do like the side-scrolling games, but I never got to play Metal Slug. I don't know what... Was that on PC or just...
It was on everything. It was on everything imaginable.
Let's find out if it's on Steam then.
It was on Neo Geo, it was on Steam, it's on Sega Saturn, it's on PlayStation, it's on Virtual Console, it's on PSN, it's on iOS, it's on Android. It's,
oh yeah, Metal Slug 3, yeah, there you go.
It's on Wii, PSP, PlayStation 2, Xbox, blah, 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 blah. You know, that reminds me, did you ever play Rolling Thunder?
No.
That was an arcade game. It was one of the first scrolling shooters. You should look it up. You might, you know, I bet you don't recognize the name, but you may recognize what it looks like. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Metal Slug
first came out in 86.
Right. I thought Metal Slug was a tank game. So these are two
no,
guys.
No, I thought it was a tank game, yeah, but there's another one. Is it Guilty Gear?
I don't know if that's Guilty Gear. That's familiar.
I know obviously it's familiar. It's a long running thing, but I'm not sure if it's a. No, that was a fighting game. Anyways, so our question of the week is kind of obvious. Which game do you really want to play in 2016? You go first. I already know my answer right off the bat. But
well,
first,
are you talking about new games or games you just
new
want
games
to play
that are coming out in 2016? Come on.
I don't know what's coming out in 2016.
You can't be serious.
I'm serious. I have no idea because I'm so focused on current games that I have. So,
okay, I'm going to say which game I'm really looking forward to, and it's actually coming out in February, and that is XCOM 2.
I have no interest in that game.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, the major games that are coming out in the future, Far Cry Primal is coming out in February.
There.
What?
So, I'm sorry, continue. Well, you're saying, like, you can't be serious, but so far you're mentioning games I have no interest in, but continue.
There's Quantum Break, there's Dark Souls 3, there's Ratchet & Clank, there's Total War Warhammer, there's Battleborn, there's Mirror's Edge Catalyst, there's No Man's Sky, there's Ark Survival, well, that's already out, though. Deus Ex Mankind Divided, you know, Ukulele?
Yeah, I don't care about any of those.
You don't care about Ukulele? Really?
Really? None. You not interested in any of those games.
You've never played... You don't like XCOM?
Mm-mm.
Well, you also have the Resident Evil Zero HD Remaster coming out. And I know you like...
I'm not into zombie games.
You're
I'm
not...
Really
I thought
zombies.
You were into Resident Evil.
Huh?
I thought you were in Resident Evil.
No.
How about Hyrule Warriors Legends on the 3DS?
No.
Lego Marvel's Avengers?
No.
This war
like I said, I'm going to be playing games that probably came out years ago, like Tales of Zestria or Trials in the Sky.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. They do have a new Tales of coming out, and that's Tales of Desiria? I think it's called Desiria? That's coming out in 2016.
Okay, so that'll be something then.
Yeah. How about Knights of Azure?
Oh, you know what? Tales of Symphonia are coming out on Steam.
Yeah, right? That's an old game, though. That's just a remake.
When to play it, though, in 2016.
How about Star Ocean, Integrity and Faithlessness?
I haven't played that in a long time.
Okay.
That series.
I'm going to have to start reading out all the JRPGs that are coming out. They also have Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD. Now, I know Paul didn't like Twilight Princess that much.
Liked it fine, but yeah, go on.
No, I'm just asking. Is that something
I liked it. I don't know, I enjoyed it. I couldn't beat Ganon, even though apparently you can totally cheese kill him, but I just couldn't do it for whatever reason. But I enjoyed the mechanic of being a wolf and following the scent trails and hopping between the dark and light worlds, and it made more sense for Link to be a wolf than a freaking bunny rabbit in whatever the third game was, the Link to the Past. Yeah, Link to the Past, you were a bunny rabbit until you got a freaking mirror or something. But in this, you're a wolf, and that makes so much more sense because he's a hunter and he's looking, you know, he's trying to find the Ganon in these parts, and yeah, so it makes sense that he'd be a little hunter thing, and it was cool. I had fun with it.
Yeah, there's supposed to be another. Let's see about the unscheduled games because there are games that are coming out that don't have a release date yet, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to see. Final Fantasy 15 is coming out next year in 2016. Surely you must be interested in that.
What game?
Final Fantasy 15.
Oh no, definitely not. No, nope.
Really? You're not interested? You're not interested in a? No. Why not?
Oh my God, why not? Let's see. Has nothing to do with fantasy. It's like in the modern era, cars, no thank you.
How do you know? Maybe it's a steampunk thing. I mean, all the Final Fantasies are steampunk.
So not steampunk.
How about Kingdom Hearts 3?
And then there, well, I haven't played Kingdom Hearts, any of the Kingdom Hearts games, so I'm so
Is that something you want to do, though?
But it's, and then there's the whole freaking thing about them being all men. And there's this, and there's like it's all bromancing or whatever, and I just feel like it's going to be obnoxious.
You know
I actually would like a female character, so I'm kind of not really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to Torment Tides of Numenera. That I've backed on Kickstarter.
Cool.
I backed that on Kickstarter.
Yeah, me too. That'll be good.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, jeez, I forgot the name of it. Oh, yeah. So, have you ever been interested in the Mega Dimension Neptunia games?
I don't think I've played those.
Those are in which all the consoles are personified. You have a human version of the Xbox One, a human version of the PlayStation, and all that. It's about, you know... Oh, and I know I'm going to be interested in Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm just going to be crossing my fingers about it.
Right.
I'll be crossing... Mafia 3 is coming out. I'll be crossing my fingers about that, too, because the problem with Mafia 2 was that it was a quote-unquote open-world game, but you never did anything open-world. It was like you had to go down this one path in an open world. You know, you see all this cool stuff on the side that you could explore? No, you're not going to do that. You're just going to go to the next spot.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole being railroaded and shoved to the next story point. And
yeah.
I really do like I said, taking my time in the game, really savoring it, not being shoved from point to point to point just because whatever, you know.
And there's also Gears of War 4, and the thing is, I hadn't played any Gears of War since Gears of War 2. All right, so
mm-hmm.
There's also Fable Legends, which is interesting, in which one person plays the evil guy, and the rest of them of people are trying to fight against him. It's sort of like an evil DM that you have to fight against.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Doom is also coming out.
Another Doom.
Yeah, it's a complete reboot with new graphics.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Yes, I saw that at Blizzard. Was it Blizzard? No, it wasn't. It was the Bethesda.
Bethesda now owns id Software. Oh, speaking of adventure games, you also have the Batman game that's being done by Telltale. Which is intriguing because it sounds like they're going to be focusing on Bruce Wayne more than they are going to be focusing on Batman.
Yeah, and I just realized I didn't mention that I managed to play the fourth chapter of the Minecraft story mode game.
Right.
And it reached a conclusion, you know.
Well, there's a fifth episode coming out.
Exactly.
So it's not the conclusion.
Well, it is a conclusion because it concludes the current issue, the current story problem.
Which means that there's going to be something that's going to happen that you never...
And a new adventure in the fifth one, which will probably take in all of your choices. Because there were some choices, you know, resolved, or, you know, you could see the consequences of your choices in the fourth one. But I think there's going to be some more in the fifth one. Because I remember some things happening where a character says, they will remember this, and then you never see the character again. So it's like, why did you say that? So
they do that a lot, though, with the other, like The Walking Dead. They say, well, they will remember that, and then they die and never find out. Or, like, Duck thinks you're awesome, and he dies. Sorry for anybody who didn't, what's it called? Sorry to spoil that from the first season of The Walking Dead. Oh, now you made me lose my place, sir. There was something I was going to bring up, and I forgot it, thanks to you.
I'm sorry.
A lot of people are interested in Cuphead, by the way.
Cuphead.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling running gun like the other game, mm-hmm. except it's done as a 30s silent cartoon. And if you ever saw those, you know, the constant moving, the bouncing, and all that stuff, you know, the character design and all that stuff, just look up the trailer for Cuphead. You'll be instantly charmed.
Okay.
And geez Louise, you made me forget what I was going to bring up. Damn it. It's really good. Oh, you know, a lot of people are excited over Persona 1 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't care less. Star Citizen is going to be coming out. That's going to be interesting because it's going to be coming out late in 2016. It looks like they're wrapping up because, you know, they filmed all those scenes with Mark Hamill and Gary Oldman and the one who played Agent Mulder, Gillian Anderson. And
yeah.
all that stuff. So wait, did I get that wrong? Was That's Gillian Anderson answer. Agent Mulder or
Mulder is oh god, I forgot his name now.
David Duchovny. Okay, David so Duchovny, I did get it wrong.
Scully is
Gillian Anderson, right? Okay, so yeah, they also have the another. Oh, here's a question. Did you get Pillars of Eternity?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so the expansions are coming out for that as well this year.
Yeah, more I got expansions. The first one already, and then
the second one is scheduled.
Right, that'll be good.
Yeah,
definitely.
Did you ever get into the Banner Saga?
No, I haven't. But I saw videos of what it is and what you do, and you're like this traveling band. Right. Trying to
Well, the Banner Saga
survive.
2 is coming out in the spring.
That'll be cool. Yeah. I know a lot of people like that game. That game, I think your choices definitely mattered. It was kind of remind me a little bit of Oregon Trail, where you had to make these decisions.
Yeah.
It also
has a lot of XCOM in it as well in terms of the combat. Anyways, there's a lot of new games that are coming out in 2016.
Right.
I am actually interested in the God Eater games because it's coming to PC and it's basically a science fiction version of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
So I might be interested in that. And then, of course, there's also Dishonored 2, which, you know, I mean, I went full murder mode in the first Dishonored because I got frustrated.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to prove my innocence. I'm not a murderer by murdering a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm going to murder everybody. And that's what I did, by the way. I became a serial killer because, like, in the brothel, I killed everybody in the brothel, good, innocent or guilty. That was my... Leave no witnesses.
Make you feel like you have no choice but to be a freaking serial killer, killing everyone because they just won't stop shooting at you.
Also, well, hey, I murdered the people who didn't shoot at me too, because I was evil. The reason why I did it also is because I wanted to see how the city changed, and what happened is there are a lot more rats in the streets, and you know a lot of corpses were being consumed and all that stuff. So. Oh, you know, there is something called Death by Game Show, which is basically a remake of Damn, I forgot the name of that game. More Prizes! Remember that arcade game?
Yeah.
More Prizes! Well, that's basically what Death by Game Show is.
Okay.
So anyways, yeah, we want to hear what games you're interested in. We already said Scott has to be reminded that he actually is interested in games. So
I am, of course, interested in games. I just have a very big backlog of games that I'm trying to...
I'll get you a copy of Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4.
Yeah, I'm not playing Naruto.
Oh, wait. Maybe I can get you Dead or Alive Extreme 3, which is basically a soft porn.
Well, oh, yeah. That's that volleyball game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Rocket League's coming to the Xbox One, finally, in February. So, so I guess you're just going to be... anxiously awaiting Groundhog Day to pick up Tales of Symphonia. Which is interesting because you'll be playing a game you already played on Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day? Well, I don't think I've ever played Symphonia, but I definitely will like to play on the PC.
So. Well, it's considered the best of the series, so at least there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, let us know what your... So, do you have a... After saying all of that, by the way, after, did you say, "Oh yeah, that's the game I want to play in 2016"?
Tales of Symphonia is a game I want to play in 2016.
Aside from a remake, though, something that's going to be completely new in 2016.
Completely new. I don't know what is completely new that isn't a sequel, DLC, or
there's a new
Pass
Walking Dead game coming out. A new adventure game from Telltale coming out. Walking Dead.
It's, Walking Dead?
No. Yeah, it's Walking Dead Michonne, which is one of the characters from The Walking Dead, the adventure game, and it's going to focus on her, and it's going to be DLC for season 2.
Okay, is that little girl or is it a different character?
Oh no, Michonne was she was one of the people in the was she the? I think she was the black woman who seems to be a nice person, but then turns out to be a total cunt. You remember her?
No, I didn't play
the
game.
She
Only
was the
a little
one.
Bit.
I think that was her. Now, if I'm making a mistake, just write in to let me know I'm wrong. So yeah, then, what?
Send all hate mail to Jonah.
Well, just mail anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to look her up. Oh, no, no. Okay, so she actually is from the TV series.
Oh,
and she's going to be a part. She's the one, she's the black woman with the dreads.
And the katana?
Yeah, that's her. That's okay. So she's gonna make an appearance in, I'm pretty sure that Danai Gira is going to play her, do her voice. She's the original actress. So yeah, I was half right. You know, it was a black woman, but it was the dreads and the katana woman. So that's interesting, because in The Walking Dead, you had a few characters from the series in the first season appearing, and that was the guy with his son in the beginning. I forgot his name. And then you had the Asian guy who was from the series as well, who appeared in the first two episodes and then vanished. So, yeah. So, anyways, yeah, Walking Dead Michonne. Okay. The problem with The Walking Dead is that it's so freaking depressing. I don't know if I want to play it anymore, because no matter what choice you make, you're screwed anyway.
Everyone dies.
Yeah, I ended up with Kenny getting killed, because I really didn't like Kenny after a while.
Oh my gosh, they killed Kenny! Yeah. You bastards!
At least Kenny was actually happy that he died, because he knew that he'd become a monster.
I see.
So, what, did you play The Walking Dead?
No. No, it just, if you... come on, it's a South Park meme.
I'm just asking if you played The Walking Dead.
No, I only saw some videos of it. Of other people.
You know what? Go ahead and play it. It's one of those games you'll play once, and you'll be glad you played it, and you'll never play it again. It's like, I'm glad I played it. I don't want to put myself through that anymore.
Yeah.
That's the problem with The Walking Dead Michonne, like is that...
Well, I played it, but... I don't want to play it anymore.
I mean, I'm happy with the choices. Really, I'm happy with the choices I made, and if I want to see the other choices, I'll just go to YouTube.
Yeah, that's a lot easier.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm doing right now with. That's what I'm doing with Fallout 4. Is that okay? I'm happy with the choices I made. I don't want to make the other choices because they seem like terrible choices, and I don't want to have to deal with the consequences of those choices.
Yeah.
So I'll just stick with the fact that I had the Minutemen destroy the Institute, and just keep running missions for the Railroad and the Brotherhood, and see where that goes, because the story still continues after you destroy the Institute.
Right. Yep. That is nice. I like that they allow you to do that.
I'll ask you a question. Did you finish the main storyline of Fallout 4 yet?
No, I was on vacation in Virginia. I had no time to play
Fallout
4.
You did not play Fallout 4? You should be... We have to shame you now because you didn't play Fallout 4. How close do you think you are to the ending, though?
I'm at the part where I got the chip, and now I gotta go back to Virgil, and he'll tell me to go get the teleporter installed.
Oh, God, you're nowhere near the ending. You're like halfway through.
Okay.
So, yeah, I hope that makes you feel... Because when I was playing Deus Ex for the first time, at a certain point, I think, oh, God, I hope it isn't over yet. And then I found out, there's a lot more to this than just that.
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to have some major decisions to make.
Right.
You still have some huge, huge, huge decisions to make. The game's half over for you, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know when you actually make a decision on what to do with the Institute and the Brotherhood and the Railroad and the Minutemen. But like I said, you know, the Minutemen are the only faction... We're 100% good. You know, they only have the best of intentions for everybody. And that's what everybody says their weakness is, that they have the best of intentions, but not the firepower. Well, here's a little hint for those factions. You are the firepower.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're
the Fable King. I mean, the lone survivor.
Here's the thing is that that's one of the complaints about Fallout 4, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that all these groups trust you way too quickly.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's like, well, I guess...
And ironically, the Institute has the best reason to trust you. I'm not going to say why. That's for you to discover.
Well, they have your son, so I think that's the issue right there.
I'm not going to say a word about it, because it's a pretty major reveal what's going on with the Institute. So you'll find out soon enough. So, yeah. This has been the episode. And, you know, I didn't even give the boilerplate. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with the industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback. So leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Damn it, I hate having to edit that out. also hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum. Or send us your comments at gaming at damn it. Or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Subscribe to us in iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter. He is at Alpha Shard on Twitter. Scott, I mean. And we will see you next week. And like I said, you know, Doctor Who, I mean, I don't know how many people actually listen to that. But I know you guys have fun doing it anyway, so even if only three other people listen to it.
Oh, it'll be fun. I enjoy talking Doctor Who with people and with Paul and Jennifer, and that'll be entertaining if it's just us.
Here's a question, though. is there going to be a lot to talk about after the midway point?
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about or complain about.
oh, there's going to be complaints. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's some complaints.
Yeah, that's always the best part of a thing is when people complain. Anyways,
some tension going.
We will see you next week.
And happy gaming, everyone.